In every generation, this the bracha of Olam Hashina was intended to address the threat. Usually, it was established to address the threat from within, from within Klal Yisrael. There were always different movements that tried to pull Yidden away from the Torah Kedoshah. And as we learned, it was initially established against the Christian movement, against Yashka and his followers. But ever since then, the wording changed based on the different threats that we encountered. It's interesting that Hashgacha Pratis, this I only became familiar with the historical part of this bracha. Yeah, I knew a little bit, but I really delved into it to prepare for the shiur. So that's where I find out. That's where I found out that Rav Gamliel was the Rosh Beis Din that established this bracha against Yashka and his followers. It's a machlokes whether it was the first Rav Gamliel or the second Rav Gamliel. We spoke about this. It seemed that it was that first Rav Gamliel that was involved in the actually paskening that Yashka is chayv misa, that Yashka was liable of the death penalty. So, I'm just finding all this out as I'm preparing for this year. I had to go to Kankakee the beginning of this week to visit a certain plant to make sure that it's kosher. Went there the Eid Achreidus, whatever it was. Anyway, this very Christian-looking fellow comes over to me and says to me, What is your opinion of Rav Gamliel? And I knew exactly where he was going. I mean, if not for this shiur, I would have no idea where he was going. So, Baruch Hashem, that worked. But anyway, one of the questions that is raised about this bracha, due to the fact that this bracha was established against the call of the enemy from within, the movement within Klal Yisrael. And by the way, the Satmar Rav writes that if someone does not have in mind during the bracha of Olam Alshinim the threat to Yiddishkeit in that generation, and that specific generation, that he was not yoy to that bracha. In order to fulfill whatever the purpose of this bracha, one must have in mind the threat to the current generation. The Satmar Rav, the Satmar Rav, the Shitasa, held that if you didn't have in mind it was Zionism, then you weren't Yotze. But each to their own. Everybody, I'm sure, has their theory of what is the major threat to Yiddishkeit and to the Torah life, and that is what one should have in mind during Olam Hashina. Since this is a bracha that is intended towards the enemy from within, there's a very severe language in this bracha. Vazedim, we say the Vazedim, those who sin intentionally, Mehira Sa'aker, Usishaber, Usimager, Usachalim, Usashpilim, Usachniim, Hashem, you should uproot, smash, cast down, destroy them, lower them, humble them. So everybody asked the Kasha from the Gemara, the famous Gemara, Brachas Daf Yud, that Reb Meir had some troublemakers in his neighborhood, Jewish troublemakers, that would cause him a lot of agony. So Reb Meir was davening that they should perish. So Reb Meir's wife said to him, "You shouldn't daven that they should perish. You should daven they should do tshuva." And she brought a pasuk to support her. It says in the pasuk, "Yitamu chatoim in aretz." It says that the sinners should be gone from the land. I'm sorry, "Yitamu chatoim in aretz." The sins shall be gone from the land. It doesn't say "Yitamu choitim loiksid." It doesn't say the sinners shall be gone. It says "Yitamu chatoim." The sins shall be gone. So you're supposed to ask that they should do tshuva. And says the Gemara, Reb Meir indeed did so. Reb Meir davened that they should do tshuva, and they did tshuva. So, why are we davening that these people, which we're talking about Jews here, should be cut down and uprooted and smashed and destroyed and lowered and humbled? We should be davening they should do tshuva. Indeed, the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, and his Siddur, says that one should not daven. There was a girsa, v'chol oisei risha, those who commit wickedness should, all these lashonis should be uprooted and smashed and destroyed. Says the Vilna Gaon, is there a person in the world that is not oisei risha? There's no such thing as a tzaddik that never does anything wrong. So if somebody says, anybody who commits wickedness, they're cursing themselves. Everybody commits wickedness. So he says, we should daven v'chol harisha. Right? I believe Lashon Ashkenaz is that. V'chol harisha, and all wickedness should be destroyed. We're not asking Hashem to destroy those who commit wickedness. We're asking Hashem to destroy the wickedness.
We already have a bracha of Eretz Yisroel. So it comes on.
Okay. But still.
If they didn't do tshuva.
So there happens to be that there is a. In the Siddur of Reb Amram Goin, his girsa was, he used to daven Lamashumadim Alti Yisikva. Right? Lamashumadim means those who converted to Christianity. They should not have any hope. So even then, he davened, his nusach of the bracha was, Lama shumodam al tisikva, im lo yashuva librisacha, if they don't do tshuva. They shouldn't have hope if they don't do tshuva. He would add those words, im lo yashuva, if they don't do tshuva. However, the Chachanover says that no, there's a big difference between sinners definitely, we should never be asking that they should perish, we should be davening they should do tshuva. But there's a difference between sinners and those who are trying to get others to sin, those who are being a bad influence. Those people we should be trying to get rid of, totally. Upon them, he says, is written the pasuk, "Ba'avoid reshoim rina." When the wicked are destroyed, there is joy. And this bracha is directed toward those who were influencing Klal Yisrael negatively, and for them, there's no rachmanis. No rachmanis. We're not asking they should do tshuva, just the Rebbeinu Shel Olam get rid of them. I saw in the Sefer Evan Shleimer from the Shimla Aruv, he brings from the Ach Pri Tvia, from the Rav Hershel Liske, he asks the kasha. By Ansukis, we know we take the Dalad Minim, the Lulav, the Esrig, the Hadas, and the Arova, and we know that each one of them represents a different type of Jew. Right? The Esrig represents the Tzaddik, who has both Torah and good deeds, because the Esrig has both a good smell and a good taste. The Lulav only has a good taste, because it comes from a palm tree, so the dates have a good taste, but it has no smell. That represents somebody who learns Torah, but has no good deeds. The Hadas has a good smell, but has no taste. That represents somebody who has good deeds, but no Torah. And the Arava has neither a smell or a taste. That represents the Rasha, the wicked person, who has neither a good, who has neither Torah or good deeds. So the Hershel Lisker asks, why did the Rabbi Nishlam tell us to take an Arava? Why didn't he tell us to take a thorn? A thorn is seems to represent the Rasha much better than an Arava. So why didn't he tell us that the fourth species should have been a thorn, not an Arava? Huh? So he says that the point of these four species is that we should bring them all together. It represents the achdus of Klal Yisrael, the unity of Klal Yisrael. And that we should bring all types of Jews closer. Even the Arava, even the one who has no good deeds and no Torah. He says, but the thorn represents the Rasha that's trying to hurt others. He's trying to influence other Yidden negatively. Him, don't bring close. Don't be Makariv. Don't try to bring close somebody who's going to influence the good people negatively. That's what the koitz represents, and therefore, we don't want the koitz. We don't want the thorn. The Arava, somebody who has no good deeds, he has no Torah, but he's harmless, that's the type of person we should be Makariv.
So why is he Russian?
Because he has no Torah, no good deeds.
Why is he Russian?
What? No, it's an Echlami. You don't want to call him a Rosh. You don't call him a Rosh. But we're talking about Jews. Back in Hungary, when the Enlightenment movement began to spread, the Haskalah movement. So it was taking over Klal Yisrael by a storm. And many Yidden were falling away from Yiddishkeit. So the Orthodox Rabbanim got together in Hungary and created what was called the Teilung. Teilung was a divide. They created a divide. And they declared that Reformed Jews were considered goyim, total goyim. And we're not going to be mashadach with them. Their wine is yain nesach, and their mamish. It was they felt they had to make this divide because they were influencing Klal Yisrael in a terrible way. So the Hevi Gerishina said at that time when the tithing took place that an arm was torn off of the Shekhinah. That's what he said, that an arm was torn off of the Shekhinah. So so they asked the Rishana, are you telling us that what they did, what the Rabbanim in Hungary did was wrong? So he said, no, I'm not saying it's wrong. He says sometimes when there's a disease in the arm that can spread to the whole body, the only way to save the body is to amputate the arm. And indeed, that was necessary at the time. But at the end of the day, an arm was torn off of the Shekhinah. There's a Chassam Sofer in the beginning of Parshas Emor. The pasuk says, Vaydar Hashem l'Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe, Emoir ala kehanim b'nei Aharon. Speak to the kehanim, the sons of Aharon, v'yomarto aleim, and say to them, l'nefesh l'yitama ba'amo. Literally, it means they should not contaminate themselves to a soul, to a corpse in their nation. So, some sefers bothered, all the mafarshim are bothered by the double expression, ha-kehanim b'nei Aharon. Why does it have to say both the kehanim and the sons of Aharon? We all know that the kehanim are the sons of Aharon. So either it should say Akehanim or it should say B'nai Aharon. Secondly, why did it says Emoir, say to them, V'yomar Talayim, and say to them. So it's a double expression. So Rashi says, on why it says Emoir V'yomarta, L'hazir Agdaidam Alaktanim. It's coming to warn the grown Kehanim that they are responsible for the young Kehanim, that they should not contaminate themselves to a corpse. Says the Chassam Sofer that the deeper understanding of this pasuk is that we know that Aharon HaKohen was Oyev Shalom, Roidev Shalom, Oyev Esabriyas and Makarim the Torah. Aharon HaKohen, it says in Pirkei Avos, loved peace, pursued peace, loved people, and he brought them close to Torah. Aharon HaKohen was in Kiruv. Therefore, it's the B'nai Aharon, the children of Aharon, were expected to follow in their ancestors' way and to be Makar of other Yidin. And that's what Lahazir Agdoilim Alaktana means. To warn the Gdoilim, meaning those who are great in good deeds, that they are responsible for the ones that are ketanim, that are small in the area of good deeds. Meaning we're, Yidin are responsible for other Yidin. And if there are Yidin that are ignorant and don't know, we're responsible for them. We have the responsibility to bring them close to Torah. That's what Aharon HaKohen did. Nevertheless, warns the Torah. So first of all, Emor l'Kehanim, say to the Kehanim, B'nei Aharon, you are the children of Aharon. And therefore, you are, just like Aharon felt responsible for Yidin that were distant, for Yidin that seemed to be far from Torah, and he brought them close, you're also responsible. Nevertheless, l'nefesh l'yitama ba'amav. Nevertheless, says the Chassam Sofer, if bringing them close might put someone who is already close in jeopardy, because the people who you are being makariv might be a negative influence on the people who are involved in the Torah and Yiddishkeit, lenefesh leitam v'amam, do not contaminate any soul in the process. As important as the Hazar Agdoilim Alaktanim is, important as Kiruv is, the Nefesh Le'itam Ba'amav, not at the expense of contaminating the soul. The word of the Chassam Sofer says, "Einoi roi mishim safik rochaik ula yochol hashiv yanichu yaniach kulam b'safik." It's not worth it, says the Chassam Sofer, because of a chance that you might bring someone else closer to put everyone else in jeopardy. It's not worth it. According to this, I was thinking that perhaps we could understand this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Masai, the death of Aharon is mentioned. Now it's Hashgoch El Yoina. As we know, nothing is an accident. This is the only, Aharon HaKohen's death in this week's Parsha is the only death, the only Yortzeit that's mentioned in the Torah. It's the only one. It says in the Torah that Aharon died on Rosh Chodesh Av. And we always read this parsha, Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Av. every single year. Shabbos, the Shabbos that we announce, the Chodesh Av, we always read the parasha where it says that Aharon died on Rosh Chodesh Av. Now, what is the significance of the Torah Kedosha telling us that Aharon HaKohen died on Rosh Chodesh Av? So I was thinking that we can understand this because we know that the Beis HaMikdash, both Beis HaMikdash were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. And the last Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. It was because of hatred for naught. Now, what does that mean? What is Sinas Chinam? I mean, what is it, hatred for naught? Is there ever such a thing as hatred for naught? Does anyone ever hate someone for nothing? Usually, if someone hates another person, there's a reason for it. Why is it? What does Sinas Chinam mean? What is hatred for naught? And I was thinking, perhaps, according to what we've learned, that there are times that we have to distance people, but it's for a good reason. Those people are a threat. They're a threat to our Yiddishkeit. They'll be a bad influence upon us. But then there are those that are distanced for no good reason. It's a sinus chinam. They're being distanced. They're being despised for nothing. They don't pose a threat. There are yidden that have tremendous potential, and we have an obligation to be makar of them. And when such yidden are distanced for no good reason, that's called sinas chinam. Since Aharon HaKohen was the epitome of Oyev Shalom, Veroidev Shalom, Oyev Esabriyos, and Makarv LaTorah, he was the person who was the Makarev, who was the one that brought Yidden close. Therefore, Aharon HaKohen passed away on Rosh Chodesh Av. In a time of the year that has eternal significance of Sinas Chinam, we need to know that Aharon HaKohen's Patira represents the reason of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because we didn't connect ourselves to Aharon HaKohen was to the Oyev Shalom V'Roidev Shalom Oyev Esabriyas and Mekarvan LaTorah. There's a very interesting Medrash in Parshas Chukas. In Parshas Chukas, Aharon HaKohen's, that is where Aharon HaKohen, the mention of Aharon HaKohen's death is first mentioned. Right before that, Klal Yisrael, Moshe and Klal Yisrael send a message to Melech Edoin, to the king of Edoin. So says your brother Yisrael, we've gone through a lot, we were in Mitzrayim, let us pass through your land to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Melech Edom refuses to let us through. Says the Medrash, and immediately after this, it says, the Torah records the death of Aharon HaKohen. Says the Medrash, the Medrash brings a pasuk, v'hischabercha im rasha paratza l'kimas masacha. Because you connected to the Rasha, to Edom, that's why Hashem took away Aharon HaKohen. Because we asked Amalek to pass through his land, Hashem took away Aharon HaKohen. And all the Mefarshim have tremendous difficulty with this Medrash. Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't act unless Hashem told him to do so. So Hashem told him to send a message to Melech Edom, can we pass through your land? How can we be punished for that? Because we connected to the Rasha. And where do we connect to him? All we asked him was to pass through his land. Did we connect to him at all? There's a famous vort from the Beis Halevi. I think Chassam Sofer also said a very famous vort. When Esau was coming to greet Yaakov with 400 men, Yaakov davened that Hatzileni na miyad ochi miyad Esav. Yaakov Davin, save me from my brother and from Esav. Well, his brother is Esav. Why did he have, it's a redundant expression. He should have said Hatzileni na either miyad ochi, he only had one brother. Or he should have said miyad Esav. Miyad ochi miyad Esav. So the Beis Halevi says that Yaakov was afraid of two things. He was afraid that Esav might come to battle with him. And that's why he said, Atzileni na miyad Esav. Help me, save me from Esav. Esav the Russia. I'm afraid he's going to do harm to me. Physical harm. But Yaakov was even more afraid, said the Beis Halevi, that Esav would want to be at peace with him. That Esav would want to be his good friend, his good brother. And Esav, he knew that Esav would be a terrible spiritual influence upon him and his family. Hatzileni na miyad achi. Help me that he shouldn't be my brother. I'm afraid of him being close to me. Esav was that type of person that would have been a negative influence on Yaakov and his family. And that's not sinas chinam. That's sinah for a reason. I don't want him close to me because he's going to be a negative influence. Those are the type of people that some sefer said, "Lenefesh lo yitam ba'amav." Don't contaminate people in the process of your kiruv. That he was the type of person that the bracha of Olam Alshin was made for. Even though yitamu chatoim k'siv lo yichaitim, it says, "Get rid of the sins, not the sinners." No, we're not talking about the people that are a bad influence. Those are people we need to keep away from us. So Edom, which is Esav's descendant, is a person who we don't want to be our brother. And Klal Yisrael sent a message to Edom, Koy Omar Achicha Yisrael. So said your brother Yisrael. Ah, he's your brother? That was the mistake. The mistake was, the Rebbe Shalom sent, send a message to Melech Edom. He never said to call him your brother. When we call Edom our brother, we're welcoming the bad influence upon us. We have no shaykhis to them, and we shouldn't have any shaykhis to them. Shalo yosani goy. We don't want that influence. Since Aharon HaKohen is the Mekarev, Oyev Esabri is a Mekarev on the Torah, it was perhaps the influence that they had from Aharon HaKohen that they thought that this was an opportunity to say Koyam Arachicha Yisrael. As soon as they said Koyam Arachicha Yisrael, the Kiruv is going too far, Aharon HaKohen passed away. V'schabercha im Rasha, you're connecting to a Rasha? Hashem took away the one that Oyev Esabri is a Mekarev on the Torah. You're using the Aharon HaKohen in the wrong territory. That's when the Rebbeinu Shlom said it's time for Aharon to go. With this, we can understand why in last week's parsha, when Pinchas did his heroic act and killed Zimri, Rashi says Shahoyu Hashvatim Mevazim Oisai. All the Shvatim were degrading Pinchas. Hari Isem ben Puti Zeh Shepitim Aviyimay Agolim Lavayde Zora. Did you see this descendant of Yisroi? Right, Pinchas' mother was a daughter of Yisroi. Did you see the descendant of Yisroi, who was an idol worshiper, and he went and killed a Nasi? Says Rashi, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Pinchas is the descendant of Aharon HaKohen. Don't tell me he's the descendant of Yisroi. He's descendant of Aharon HaKohen. The question is, what's going on here? Didn't everyone see that the plague stopped as soon as Yisroi committed his heroic act? That Pinchas committed his heroic act? Didn't they all know that he was a descendant of Aharon HaKohen? What is the pasuk mechadish here? The answer is that what the Shvatim were saying was, of course, what Pinchas did was, it was one approach to stopping the plague. But his grandfather Aharon would have walked over to Zimri and put his hand around his shoulder and said, Zimri, you're such a heilig yid. It's pasnish to do such things. Aharon HaKohen was oyeves habriyos and mekavel la'Torah. Aharon didn't do these acts of zealousness. He must have gotten that from the other grandfather, from Yisrael. Says the Torah HaKadosh, no. In such cases where Zimri was being a terrible influence on Klal Yisrael, what he was doing was a public act that was bringing down the entire Klal Yisrael. In such cases, Aharon HaKohen would have acted the same exact way that Pinchas did. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen bo kosav yichsay achra Aharon. No, he's not Yisrael Zainikul. He's Aharon Zainikul. This is the way Aharon would have acted. Yes, Aharon the Makarev, Aharon the Oyev HaSabriyaz Makarev on the Torah would have acted the same way as Pinchas in this situation. Because when it comes to Vala Malshinim and to the Zaydim and to the Minim, the answer is to Akerus, Shmagerus, Magerus, Chalem, Sashpilem, Sachnien. It's the only way to deal with that. Want to say something? So that's talking about, it's good. That
isn't on the same scale as smash and kill.
On the surface, I would say that we're talking about, no, actually, it's not only the same expression, Al Tisikva was used in all of the different nuschois, whether it was the Meshumadim or the Kaifrim or the Mumrim or the Lashinim. I mean, I guess it's a way, it's a manner of destruction. People having no hope. So, along these lines, I was thinking that in this week's parasha, we have the parasha of the Orei Miklat. It's very interesting. There are 9 Orei Miklat that are set aside. 9? 6 Orei Miklat. 3, right, 3 in Eretz Yisrael, and 3 in Eretz Yisrael. Six in Eretz Yisrael, 3 in Eretz Yisrael.
Three
in Eretz Yisrael, and 3 in Eretz Yisrael.
Jordan or Iran?
In Jordan. Yeah. So Rashi asked the obvious question. In Eretz Yisrael, there were 9.5 Shvatim. And in Eretz Yisrael, there were 2.5 Shvatim. So why is it that 9.5 Shvatim got the same amount of refuge cities that 2.5 Shvatim got? It seems disproportionate. And Rashi says, Kivan de Gilad Shchichi Roitzchem. Because in Gilad, which was that area in Eber Yarden where there were 2.5 Shvatim, murder was common. So they needed more refuge cities. The question is, Mamash, it makes no sense. The refuge cities are only made for unintentional killers. How can you have common unintentional murder? You could say that murder, on the south side of Chicago, murder is common. Well, there's no, how can you say that unintentional murder is common? We also know out later. Okay, so let's just... I'm finished already. It's not worth it. Mm-hmm. So I think the answer is that whenever an avera is done, whether it's done intentionally or unintentionally, it causes anybody who is witness to it, and definitely by the person themselves, to lose a certain sensitivity to that avera. Just the metzius. When avera is done, as long as a person doesn't see an avera taking place, the person has a tremendous sensitivity towards it. This is one of the tremendous danger in, specifically in children, even in adults, watching television shows or movies that have murders and things that, even though no one dreams of committing murder, nevertheless, a person loses their sensitivity towards it. So whenever you're going to have an unintentional murderer, definitely intentional murderers, murder becomes lighter in people's eyes. There are people that will, in a certain area, they'll drive carefully, right? Because murder is something that's sensitive to them. I heard that there's a young man got numerous speeding tickets in Eretz Yisrael, and he had to go to court. He was subject to a fine or to losing his license, whatever it was. So he decided he's going to go before he goes out goes to court. He's going to go to Chaim Knievsky and get a bracha. Big mistake. He came to Reb Chaim Knievsky and he said to Reb Chaim Knievsky that he's going to court. Reb Chaim, what are you going to court for? So he said that he received numerous speeding tickets. Reb Chaim started screaming at him at the top of his lungs. Abracha willst du? Du bist ein Reizeach! Du bist ein Reizeach! He screamed at him until they had to carry the guy out. You're a murderer! You're a murderer! People that are sensitive to murder are careful. Unintentional murders happen when people are not careful. And people are not careful because they've lost the sensitivity towards it. When people enter our lives that don't have the same values that we have, We are prone to losing sensitivity to the things that we are sensitive to and should have sensitivity to. So yes, Kiruv is givaldik, and it's the Hazer Gedoyla Malaktana. It's very important, but we have to be careful that when there's danger of being influenced negatively, we must proceed with caution. And next week we'll go on with the next bracha of Al HaTzadikim.